We begin the current daf Maseches Nida daf Nun Hey. Begin four lines down with the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah in the previous daf, which opened up this parak Dama Nida, which spoke about different elements of regarding their state of tumah, which that was regarding two things that were unique: that the blood, the menstrual blood, and which our Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, Besar Hameis, the flesh of a dead person, that they contaminate, they convey tumah not only when they're moist but even when they're dry. Says the Gemara Manolim, where do we know this halacha from, that a dead person contaminates even when he's dry? So Amar Shlakish says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, in Meyikra, it says, if a man is going to touch, which one of the things that it says is going to touch, is a person or whatever it is that contaminates him, that it's going to be L'chol Tumase, for all its impurities. What's that coming to say? L'chol Tumase, ha'payur shes memenu, for all impurities that are emanate from the dead person, which means to say that it doesn't make a difference if it's moist or even if it's dry, and that's the source that we know that it's mutami, the basra mes, even when it's yavish. A different source, Rabbi Yochanan, he brings a pasuk in Bamidbar. Pasuk says, if anyone's going to touch, and it says, oy be'etzem adam oy be'kaver, it says if it's going to touch the bones of a person, a dead person, or be'kaver, or in the grave, so that's what the pasuk says, that it's going to be yitma shivas yam. The person becomes tamei from a mess for 7 days. But one thing we see from the pasuk is adam dumi de'etzem. We're comparing the person to the etzem. Be'etzem adam, the bone of the person. We're comparing these two things, which teaches us ma etzem yav, just like a bone that's mitame, it's dry. That's what bones are. Afkan yav, show to the flesh of the dead person is also even when it's dry. Says Gemara, my benai, what's a practical difference between the interpretation of Rish Lakish, his source, and that of Rabbi Yechanan? Says Gemara, iki benai da africh ifruchi. The difference is if it totally crumbled the flesh of the dead person, where it's very dry. According to Rabbi Yechanan, he would agree that here it's going to be tar, because it has to at least be comparable to the etzim, to the bone, and the bone doesn't crumble. If it crumbles, then that's not even like etzim, and that's beyond more than dry, and therefore be tar. But Rish Lakish would say it's still chol tamas, it's still tamah pareshes men, and he would say that it's still going to be tamay. Now, actually, on that, the Gemara asked Meisvei on Rish Lakish from the following Bryce. The Bryce says clearly, basra hameis shohofrach tahar, the flesh of a dead person, if it crumbled, then it's tar. You see, like Rav Yechanan, that it's tar, it's not even like etzem and not like Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, no, hasim de ikmach. There's talk about where it was like flour, it was ground down like flour, that's vahava afra, that's like dust. That Rish Lakish would agree. If it just crumbles, that's where it's still going to be tame. Now the Gemara asks on both of them, Meisvei and the Mishnah Masechtas Alos. The Mishnah says, Kol shebe meis metame, anything from a dead person contaminates, chutz min hashinayim, except for the teeth, vasar and the hair, vatzipoyrin and the fingernails. But when these things are connected to the dead person, they're not called tame, everything's going to contaminate, even these things. But one thing we see is that teeth themselves are tar. Now, teeth are similar to bone, has that same consistency. And we see that it's tar, and that's difficult on both of them, where at least being like bone, some want to say even more dry or crumbled than that, but you see, even when it's like bone, it's not going to be tum, it's going to be tar, which is what like teeth are like that. So Mervad de Barhave says no, because dumi de etzim has to be similar to bone, which is ma etzim shenivri, just like bone. Is created with the person. The person's already formed with bones. Of kol shenivrim, whatever is created with the person, then even if it's going to be dry like bone, it's going to contaminate. But that excludes teeth, because the child is not born, a person's not born with their teeth. So that's not similar to bone to contaminate. But says Gemara, okay, but ve'ikar sabit ziparin, but you have here in the fingernails, shenivrim, that the person is created with them when at birth, and yet still we see that they're tired, they're not going to contaminate. But why not? Even being dry shouldn't be a problem. It's not drier than bone. So Elam Ravad the Barabbi says a little bit more. He says, yeah, it has to be dumi de etzim, like the pasuk appears, be etzim adam. It has to be comparable to bone, which is ma etzim shenivrimai. That's one thing, one variable. Just like bone is created, the person created with it, the ein gizli machlif, and it doesn't regrow. If it's taken away, it doesn't come back. So too requires two criterion to contaminate even when it's dry. Is something that's created with the person and it doesn't regenerate. So that excludes the teeth, which it's not created with the person, where it only grows in at a later point in time. And yatsu savit zepar also excludes the hair and the fingernail. Sha'afa bishan everyma, you're right, although there it's created with the person, but gizei machla. But there it regenerates, the hair comes back, and the fingernails come back, and therefore that wouldn't qualify to be similar to bone to be metame even when it's dry. But you're right. When it's dry, according to both opinions, even like bone, it would be metame. But says the Gemara, but v'harei oyer. But you have the skin, the gizrei ma'achlef, where skin regenerates, but it's not, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Chulin. The Mishnah says, hagaluda, an animal that its skin was peeled off, either because of extreme work that it did or because of boils. Remeir machshir, Remeir says such an animal is kosher. It's not a trefa. It's not considered like a mortal defect because it's going to regenerate. The skin is going to regrow. So obviously you see that what's called gizei machlef. It does regenerate. Now, v'chacham paisim. Chacham say, no, it's invalid. We consider that animal not kosher. Now, says the Gemara, but v'afil rabbanon, look at possibly, even the rabbanon who say it's not a valid animal, is eladad the hachi v'hachi. It's only because in the meantime, until the skin does regrow and regenerate, shalit ba'aviro mesa, the air will take effect on the animal that's vulnerable now without its skin, and therefore it's going to die. So therefore they consider it a trefa. But in truth, ulaylam gives a machla, but even they agree that it regenerates. It's just, we consider it a trefa because for now there's no skin, and it's at a vulnerable positioning. So you see, according to everyone, skin regenerates. Yehudu tanninan, but we learn in Mishnah Masechta Chulin that says, Eilu she'eriseim kibisarim. Regarding these things, many times we say that the skin, the hide, is considered independent of the flesh. The Mishnah there says, these things, their hide, their skin, are kibisarim, not like the flesh, which is, ar ha'adam, is the skin of a person. So we see that skin regenerates. And you said that if something regenerates, it's not similar to bone that doesn't regenerate. And yet here you're saying that the skin is like the flesh of a person, which just like we say, flesh contaminates like the bone, even when it's dry. So you're saying that skin is like that? How could skin be like that it should be metame b'yavish, which is only if it's similar to bone, and bone doesn't regenerate, and skin does regenerate? So the Gemara Nahayit Ma'alah, but we actually learned on that halacha that we just asked from, that Amma Ula, he said that actually you're right. Dvar Torah, biblical law, or Adam Tahar. The skin of a dead person is actually Tahar. Because you're right. It's not similar to bone, which doesn't regenerate, because skin does regenerate. Now, Umatam Amr Tameh, then why did they say that the skin of a dead person is going to be Tameh? It's a Gezerah, it's a rabbinic decree. Shema Yasa Adam, Iris of Ve'imai Shetich and Lechamar. A person might make from the skin of his dead father and mother as saddlecloth for his donkey, which would be very disrespectful. And therefore, rabbinically, they said, okay, we're considering this as tummy, so that a person won't go ahead and use it. But truthfully, you're right, it's really tar, because again, it does not have the qualification, like we said, which is domida etzim, that has to be that engizimachal, because you're right, skin does regenerate. That's one version of the question. Vigadami, that those that actually asked the question in the opposite direction, that those that say as follows, Harei ur, and here the presumption is actually the opposite. But you have skin, the ein gizei machlef, where we see skin does not regenerate. How do we see that? Because it's none. Here they bring the proof from the opposite way. We saw it in that halacha regarding an animal that all the skin was peeled off, that the halacha was v'chacham paisim. V'chacham say, it's invalid. Why? Now the Gemara in this ikadamri is assuming, because it doesn't regrow. So obviously we see that skin is ein gizei machlef, it does not regenerate. Now, and moreover, v'afil Reb Meir, even Reb Meir, that he says it's kasher, like a machsher, the only reason why he said that it's valid and it's not a trefa, is el dekar bisra b'chay, it's only because the flesh, the skin doesn't come back. The flesh hardens because it's exposed to the ear on the outside and becomes hard and becomes like skin. So therefore, it's not going to die and it won't be like a trefa. But ulo'ilam ingizim achla, but truthfully, everyone, even according to Reb Meir, holds that the skin does not regenerate. This is what's different than the first version. And that's what the question is. Rama Ula Bar Ula said that Dvat Taira or Adam Tahar, biblically the skin of a person is Tahar. This that we say it's Tahar, it's only rabbinically. Why? Why is biblically the skin of a person Tahar? What do you mean? It's exactly like Etzim. It's something that does not regenerate and it's something that the person is born with. So why wouldn't it be Metame in the state of Yavish? Why is it Tahar? Says the Gemara, Kiyit Mardu Ula, When did we have Ula's teaching? Wasn't going back on what we just said before, as we had originally explained it. It's a seifa on the end of that halacha of Elu Arisayin Kibisaran. That's where Itmar was said. Because there the Mishnah continues and says as follows. It says, now, okay, so we spoke about are the skins like the flesh or not? But then continues the Mishnah Bakulan. Now, all these skins that the sages spoke about, that we said that they're going to be tummy just like the flesh, as the Gemara talks about Masech Tischul and Perek Ovaretiv. But let's say She'ibda, those skins were tanned, which is what they make leather from. You take the skin of an animal and you tan it, you work it through, or they were walked on. The amount of time that it takes to work it through, which that's how they would do it, they would put the skins of the animal in front of those who would step on it, which the measurement of how much that requires to be worked, the Gemara says elsewhere in Psachim, that it's like a measurement of walking on it 4 mil. So then it gets worked on, it's not like skin anymore, it's not like a piece of the meat of the animal, it's like leather, then tahirin. Then it's pure, it becomes nullified from its status of buster, becomes like a piece of leather. So it's not going to be considered tum anymore. Chutz mi'ar adam, except for the skin of a person, of a human being. Now, va'am ula, that's what Ula was saying on, not the skin in its natural state. After it was tanned and leathered and worked, he said, the truth is, dvatar biblically, ar adam ki abdaitar. That truth is, the skin of a person too, when it gets tanned and worked through, it's also going to be tar, because you nullified it from its halacha of being part of a person. It's like a piece of leather now. Matam amru tummy. So why do they say that it's tummy? That's a gezerah, that's a rabbinic decree. Shemayasa adam arav v'ima shatich, and the person might make the skin of his parents, who he has from their dead bodies, and make them as saddle colts for his donkey. So to avoid that, they made the skin of a person of tummy. But it's not going on the natural state of the skin. You're right, natural state of the skin is not going to be tar according to this version. It's going to be tummy, because it does not regenerate in something that the person's born with. But we're going on after it's tanned. And there, yes, it's nullified. Then it's really biblically going to be tahar. Why did they say that it's tummy even there? That's a rabbinic decree. But the Gemara continues asking in the theme of what we're talking about before, since we learn out this halacha of comparing to the bone, be'etzem adam, vari basar. But you have the flesh of the dead person. The gizem achlef, where flesh regenerates, if it gets is eaten up or whatever, a person loses a piece of flesh, v'tummy. And yet, it is tummy. But didn't you say it has to be similar to etzem, that has to be something that does not regenerate? Why is the flesh mitame? So Amar Rav Ashi says, no, because basar, the flesh of a person, nasa mekoyme tzalekes. In other words, there's a mark that's visible when a person loses a piece of flesh, some type of indentation or some type of a mark. It doesn't totally come back as its natural state. So that's considered in gizem achlev, although to some extent flesh does come back. In contrast to the hair and the fingernail, there, it's not recognizable that you cut the fingernail, that you cut the hair, because it totally comes back. That's considered gizei machlev, and therefore those are excluded from the halacha of being metame, because they're not similar to etzem adam, for something to be metame, especially what we're talking about regarding this halacha of yavish, has to be similar to the etzem, which is something that the person is born with, and it's something that in gizei machlev, that it doesn't totally, in its natural state, regenerate. Now the Gemara continues and says, okay, so there were two items that we spoke about in the Mishnah, the menstrual blood and the flesh of a dead person, that they contaminate not only moist, but even when they're dry. But the Mishnah continues and says, Aval Hazayiv, but regarding the discharge of Ezav and the phlegm and the spit and other types of items, they're metame only lach and not yavish. So going through all those items that we know in general that they contaminate, so the Gemara starts with the first item. Zayiv minalam, where do we know that the discharge itself, not the Zav, the one who had the discharge, we know he's tummy, but the discharge, that liquid that comes out of his body, how do we know that that's metame, albeit only lach? Says he went to tell them, like we learned in the Braisa. Braisa quotes a pasuk in the Yikra that says, speak to the Jewish people, tell them any person that's going to flow from his flesh, zayvai, his discharge, tamei. So it says really in the pasuk who, that he's tamei. But the Braisa is saying that, it's saying zayvai tamei, his discharge is tamei. Limit ala zayv, shuhu tamei. This teaches that the discharge itself is tamei. Now, but that's difficult, because v'aloi dinu, says the Braisa. But a kavochem would tell us, of course, that's tamei. What do you need a pasuk? If lachem, if for others, meaning for the zav, the person himself who is having the discharge, is it garim tuma, causes the discharge, causes the other person, the person himself, to become tamei. So lazim lekoshkin. So the discharge itself, isn't that a kavuchem, that it itself is going to be tamei? Says the Braisa, no, sar hamishtalechichich, the higo that sent away what's called azazel and yom kippurim, that there's two similar goats that are bought. One's the blood is thrown in the kachakashim, the other one is thrown off the cliff. That will disprove that logic, because shagarim to malachayrim, that the one who's sending that goat off the cliff, the pasuk says that he becomes tamei. Yet v'uatz mitar, the goat itself is not tamei. So you see that you could have something that causes something else to become tummy, but it itself is not. Safata al titmalz. So therefore you should also shouldn't wonder regarding this that we're talking about. Although the discharge causes tummy to something else, meaning the person who's having the discharge, who atzmai tar, we could say that the discharge itself is tar. Therefore, that's why we need the pasuk to say that its discharge is tummy. That's the teacher regarding the discharge itself that it's tummy. But says the Gemara, okay, vehima hanamila b'maga. Maybe say that that's only for touch, which is a lower level that is more basic in regards to transmission of tumah, of b'masalai. But maybe regarding carrying, then we won't have the halacha of the zayv, of the discharge itself contaminating. Mididav asheretz, just like we find by a dead sheretz, one of the dead creepy crawly creatures, that they contaminate only with touch and not by carrying. How do we know that it's metame even b'masa? It's not true, because we have a pasuk. And for touching, you don't need a pasuk to say that the discharge is tummy, because the legar meshech vazera. It's not any less than semen, which semen and carry, and those are things that the halach of the discharge is when it's on a lower level. That's a lesser type of emission from the male member. And therefore, as we continue to midbeis, if we're saying that there's a tum of maga by shech vazer, for sure there's going to be by the discharge. So, kitzach krav, we're having a pasuk of zayv tamei, it must be telling us something more, which is lamasa, that it's going to contaminate even by being carried, not even if it's not being touched. But says the Gemara, okay, but vayim maybe say, b'masa, okay, the pasuk is including carrying. But say, when it's carrying, when someone's carrying the discharge, mitame odem abogadim. So then it'll contaminate, because it's a more severe level of tumah masas, for more severe things, it's going to contaminate the person and the garments that he's wearing. But mavaga, if he's touching the discharge, maybe other mitame, because maybe it's going to contaminate only the person, but not the garments that he's wearing. Maybe to have a maga nevela, just like we find this discrepancy by someone who touches a dead animal, by a nevela, a dead animal carcass, when the person touches it, it contaminates the person, but not the garments that he's wearing. In contrast, when he carries the dead nevela, it contaminates the person and the garments that he's wearing. As the pasuk says in Mikir Aleph, says when the gaben of loss, if someone touches the nevela, yitma the arv, tummy till the evening. That's all it says. But it says vanoises nevelas yichabes begadav. Whoever carries the nevela has to wash his garments. But by maga, it doesn't say anything about washing the garments. So maybe you should say the same thing over here by the discharge itself. No, you can't entertain that. Why? Because the Tanya learned the others say, according to Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, Hazav as Zayvai, that he who discharges his discharge, Lazachar will nakeva, whether as a male or a female, the halach as a Zav or a Zava, both in male and female versions, that there is going to be a tuma of Ziva. But one thing we see when it says Hazav as Zayvai, he discharges his discharge, is Makash Zayvai Lai, it's comparing the discharge to him, his discharge. Which is teaching, says the Acherim, Mahu lechalak tabi magoi lemasoi, just like the Zav himself. You didn't differentiate between what he touches and what he carries, meaning that both of them have the locha letam odim tam begodim, that it contaminates the person and the garments that he's wearing, because as we find, the Zav, even what he touches, contaminates that garments too. As the Pasuk says, v'negei b'bas ha'zav, whoever touches the flesh of the Zav, yichabes begodim, has to wash his garments. Not only does he become tame, but also his garments. So too, regarding whoever carries him, like the pasuk says regarding even the bedding of that the Zav sits on. It says, whoever carries the bedding that the Zav sat on has to wash his garments. And for sure, if someone's carrying the Zav himself, has to wash his garments. So just like you see by the Zav himself, you don't differentiate between what he touches and what carries him. Avzayvai can so to regarding his discharge, because we're comparing him to his discharge, Zayvai is also going to have the same halacha that by Maga is also going to be time of Adam time begadav. But says the Gemara, okay, now Bahashta the Nafkulam, but now that we learn regarding the Tumah of the discharge, Mehazav is Zayvai from the Pasuk we're bringing now from the Acherim, where we compare the discharge to him, so then Zayvai Tumah Lamali, so the Pasuk we brought on Naman Aleph from the previous Braisa, that says that his discharge is Tumah, which was the primary source that we brought, that his discharge is Tumah, not only the person, but the discharge itself, Lamali, what do you need that for? You already know from this Pasuk even more, not only that it's Tumah, but that it's even similar to the Zav himself. So Amar Rav Yehuda Midaskarti says, okay, no, first of all, as we had mentioned this idea in Amar Aleph, he first starts off by saying, Itzruch, you need to have a teaching to know that the discharge is tummy. Because as we had asked in Amar Aleph, maybe you shouldn't even need it. If it contaminates the Zav, the person, if a shore contaminates itself, the discharge. No. Sakatai, what would you think to say? That Sar Meshtalechichich, the he goat that sent away, would disprove that logic. As we had said, Shekarim Tomalachem, because it could cause Tomet to others, meaning those who are sending him away, that goat, but Vuatz Meitar, but the goat himself remains Tar. So you need a teaching to know that the discharge itself is Tomet. Now, but then to answer the question that we just asked before, and now, V'imishim Hazav Zayva, but if you're going to say, okay, so you don't need Zayva Tomet, you can know that from this last passage that we brought from comparing the discharge to the Zav himself. And that says, no, that's not difficult, because you wouldn't know it from this last pasuk that we just quoted. Because, l'minyanu hudasa, that last pasuk that we just brought of hazav ha-zayvay, that's not coming to teach halacha of the tumah of the discharge. That's coming to say regarding metrics, regarding numbers of the discharges, and what the halachas are. Because, as he explains, when it says, v'hazav ha-zayvay, which is different interpretations, is Zoiv going on from the word Zoivai, and you could break that into two, which seems to be the explanation of our Gemara, or as other Gersois have, it's from Vahazav as Zoivai. But be that as it may, when it says Zoivai, you could take just the word Zoiv. That's a discharge. That's Chad. That's when the male has one discharge. Now it says Zoivai, his discharge, that's adding on to the word. That's Tarti. That's talking about two discharges. Now, and then it says, as we quoted the pasuk before, La Zachav al-Nakeva. So when you have zayvai, two discharges, it says lazachar, which is telling us that regarding the first two discharges that the male has, he has that halachic status as a male, which is, there's a difference between the laws of ziva of male and female, that a male cannot become tamei from the halach of ziva to become a zav, if it was ba'inus. If it was some external thing that caused him to have the discharge, that's not going to make him into a zav. So that only for the first two discharges. But then when it says in the Pasuk Vila Nekeva, it's telling us, Ubishlishi Akshay Rahman Nekeva. But for the third discharge, the Torah is comparing the male to the female, that even if he sees it because of some, due to some external circumstance, that still it's going to bring him to the step. Because when a male sees two times, he really becomes a Zav, and he has to have the Shibin Nekim. Female, Har Halachas, or even if it became Ba'inus. So it's saying the third discharge, which is what makes the male have to bring a carbon, could even be if it was caused through an inus. So that's what the pasuk is teaching us. And therefore, it's not telling us anything regarding comparing him to the discharge to know that there's a tum in the discharge. Therefore, it says, you read them in the scar, the kasar rachmana zayi b'tomei. That's why we needed the first pasuk that we brought, that his discharge is tomei, to tell us the source that the discharge becomes tomei. Now, but didn't we say before, so then how do we answer the previous question that we had asked? So how do we know that it's going to be mitami with maga, even adam and begadim? Oh, that's what he says. Now, v'hash t'dam rachman l'zayv v'tamayhu. Now that we have this first pasuk of that his zayv is the discharge, that the primary law, that the discharge itself is tamay. Oh, now that we know that already, so darish beinami, so now you're right. Now we could also expound from the second pasuk of Azav Azayvay, hi, this halacha, this drasha, to say that we don't differentiate between what the discharge touches and to what's carrying it, because we're comparing the discharge to the person itself. Because you're right, really the primary pasuk is telling us a different halacha, to tell us minyana, to tell us what the halachas are regarding discharge number 1 and 2 versus discharge number 3. And therefore you can't use it to learn that the primary source. But once we already have a primary source, now we could then go back to that pasuk and learn that another thing to say, okay, but it's saying zayvay, it's comparing the discharge to the person, and to say that, yeah, it's going to have the same halach as the discharge, where not only do we know that it's tamei, but it's going to be maga like the masa to say that's metame other letame begadim. Now the Gemara continues with the halach of the Mishnah that continued and said, v'haroi, and also the spittle of the tamei person, of the zav, is also, when it's moist, going to be metame. Says the Gemara, Reik Minolan, how do we know that the spittle of the Zav is metame? Says the Gemara, the time, because like we learned in the Braisa. Pasuk says, in Vayikra, says that, V'chiyarek, if the, like the Pasuk says, Hazav, if the Zav is going to spit, batar, in a pure person, so that person has to wash his clothing, whatever, he's tummy until the evening. So you see this idea, that the spittle is going to contaminate. Now says the Braisa, Yachalav Pishloi Naga, you would think even if the spittle doesn't even hit that person, that Torah person, Tamaloi Mebatar, that's what it says, no, in the Torah person, Achigi Batar, until it actually hits and touches that Torah person, then it becomes Tami. Now, Ainli Elaroika, I would only know his spit, Kichi B'neyoi, his phlegm, which are types of spit, Umei Avshaloi, or the liquid from his nose, the nasal mucus, I mean, how do we know that that's also going to be Metame from the Zav? Tamalim vichiyark. The pasuk touches starts off, and if he's going to spit, what's and? And is an inclusionary terminology to say even these other types of liquids are also considered mayanis hazav, the sources of fluids which are going to be metamer. The Gemara goes back and says, Amamar, the Tan of the Braises said, Yachal Ava Pishloi Naga. You would think, regarding the spittle of the Zav, even if it doesn't hit that person, he would be Tamir. Says Gemara, Mechatesim, where would you see that? Why would you think, even if it doesn't hit him? Says the Gemara, because Saka Tatrimini, you would have thought to say, Nelef Roy Korek Mi Yavama. There's another context in the Torah that also talks about spitting at a person by the Yavama. By the Yavama, the halacha is that if the brother doesn't want to take his brother's widowed wife that died without any children to do Yibam, so then she does Chalitza, which is she spits at him. Now, Mahas Mahapit Loy Naga, just like over there, the halacha is, doesn't hit him, she spits in front of him. And that is qualified for spitting at him. Zav Hacha, Namid Loy Naga, but think also over here regarding the Tameh of the Zav, is also, even if it doesn't hit the person, as long as it was spit towards him, it would make the Torah person Tameh. That's what we have to say, that no, batar, that it has to hit the person to make him tummy. Now, the Gemara wonders and says, similar questioning as we had in the previous category, Ve'emer hanemile b'maga, maybe say, regarding the spit, that it's going to be a tummy only if it touches the person, ab'masaloi, but if someone carries the spit of a zav, then it's not going to make him tummy, midav ha-sheretz, just like we find by a dead sheretz, but it's only tummy b'maga, not b'masa. And that a Mersh Lakish. No, he says, Tanabi Bishmal. We learn the Braisa, Shivi Bishmal, that Amakar, the Pesach says, Batahar, which is in the Tahar person, or like to the Tahar person, which is Mashabiyat Tahar. And even if it touches only what's in the hand of the Tahar person, which essentially that means to say that the Tahar person is not touching the spit, rather he's like carrying the spit, that Tamesi Lach, even that I made Tame for you. But says the Gemara, okay, but Ve'ema maybe say, okay, so yeah, the spit's going to contaminate by carrying and by touching. But still, maybe I could say, b'masa, when a person carries the spit, then metame od mugadim. Then it's going to contaminate the person and the garments that he's wearing. But b'maga, when he touches the spit, maybe odim latame, but gadim loy latame. It should only contaminate the person and not the garments. Midi dahava maga nevela, just like we find when someone touches a dead animal, where it only contaminates him and not his garments. So not a Mersh Lakish, he says, V'chein ton, Rabbi Shmuel, no, Amakra bat tahar. The Pasuk says, in the tar person, which is telling, what do you mean, in the tar person? Of course, if we're contaminating someone, obviously talking about someone that was tar previously. Oh no, what I'm coming to say is, tahara shatahar tilach b'makam acher, something that elsewhere, regarding its tumma, I said that, no, it's not going to be tumma, it's going to be tar. Tamesi lach kan, here that tar person, I'm saying here it is going to make it tumma. Now, Ve'ezah said, what is something that elsewhere is tar that him saying is tummy? Zemag nevela. That's the halacha of touching a dead animal. Where there I said that the garments that you're wearing when you're touching are going to be tar. Here I made it for you tummy, that when you touch the spit, that not only are you tummy, but even the garments you're wearing are going to become tummy. That the Gemara says, no. Ve'ema maybe say, it's b'masa the sheretz, which is the girsa that maybe it's referring to like someone who carries a sheretz. Meaning, what am I saying that elsewhere is tar that here is tummy. When someone carries a dead sheretz, there I said to you that the person's going to be tar. So here I said, when someone carries the spit, he's going to be tummy. But that's only regarding carrying. But then I'm still back to the question, maybe when someone touches the spit, it should only be like a nevela, which only going to be tummy adam and not to begadam. So the Gemara, no, because imkain, if that would be the case, nichtav krab ba'adam. The Pasuk should have said that if it hits ba'adam in the person, which then I would have expounded, ba'adam means even what's in the hand of the person, which is what he carries. And even without the exposition of what I made pure for use elsewhere is tameh, I would have already known the halacha of masa. So my bitar, why does it say that he spits not in the person, but in the pure person, which sounds like this drasha of what I made pure for you elsewhere, I made for you tameh over here. I don't need to say it for carrying, which is the halacha of carrying, which is metami the garments, which it doesn't apply by sheretz. But if you're saying masa, then obviously it means to metami begadim too. Then I could say ba'adam, which is what's in the person's hand. Why say tar? Oh, shema minotartis. Obviously, it's telling us two drashas. The halacha of carrying, I know from the extra base, batar, like we said, ba, which could even be ba'adam. But that's the base. What even is the person carrying? Now, but regarding the touching, that it contaminates the garments, that I know from the word tar, which again, like it doesn't say adam, it says tar, to say tar shatar tilach b'makam achar, which is the maga of nevela, that it's not metam of the garments. Here, we're saying that it is going to be metam. Now, we said it within the braisa that umeha af. Similarly, the halacha applies to the to the liquid that comes out of a person's nose. Now, my mehaf, what's this nasal mucus? So Amarav, he says it's specifically benigurarin derech hapeh, which a person snorts and he drags it out when he spits it out through his mouth. That's the nasal mucus that we're talking about that's going to have the tumah of a zav. Why? Because it's not possible to have some of that snot, some of that nasal mucus, if you're spitting out through the mouth, not to have some droplets of spit. Now, spit, we already learned that, is going to be tummy. So if you take it out through the mouth, therefore the nasal mucus is going to be tummy. But Rabbi Yechanan, he says, no, even the one snorts it out through his nostrils, not through his mouth, that's also going to be mitame of the another person because of the tuma of azav. Now says the Gemara, obviously we see Rabbi Yechanan holds that it's considered one of the springs, which has to be a spring in the person's body to have the tuma of azav. We see that it considers that a spring, just like spit is and urine, like all those other items that we mentioned that's considered tuma from the azav. And Rahman the Rabbi, and the pasuk includes it from v'chiyaruk, which we says that whatever is the liquids that he is similar to spit includes the phlegm and includes the nasal mucus, which is a similar type of a thing. And therefore, it's even if it comes through the nose. Now, the Gemara asks Virav that he doesn't consider it as one of the springs. He says the only reason why nasal mucus is going to be tame is because it's coming through the mouth, which there, since it's having part of the spit, that's what's going to be tame. But if that's the case, and therefore we're counting it because it's coming through the, it could come through the mouth, and then you have some of the spit in it. So nechshav nami dimas einay. Then why didn't the Braisa also say what could be included in coming from the zav that's going to be tami, the tears from his eyes, and then Rav should explain it too, where it was spit out through the person's mouth, because as we're going to quote right now, Rav holds that it's possible to draw the tears of a person through his mouth and spit it out that way. Oh, and then it's coming with spit, and therefore that should be counted as one of the liquids that can be metame. Because the Amar Rav said the following halacha. It says, Hayman the boy de lista me le'ene. Anyone who wants that his eyes should go blind, likhul ma'ivik kachav, he should have the eye salve, he should have the eye treatment from an idol worshiper who's going to put, you know, something dangerous in his eye and is going to blind him. So essentially saying, you want to become blind? Go do it from a non-Jew. Now, Valevi, I mean, he says more. He says, "Hayman the boy de lamos." If somebody wants to die, likhom ev de kachav, he should have the eye treatment from the idol worshiper. Now, Varmav Chiyah Baguri says, "My time of the Rav, what's the reason the Rav de Omer Hayman de boy de lamos? Why didn't he say, obviously we're concerned that there's some poison here which could even kill a person. Why didn't he say, like Levi, that if whoever wants to die should get an eye treatment from the idol worshiper?" That says the Gemara, because Rav held that if the idol worshiper is going to put poison that could kill him into his eye, it still won't necessarily kill him, because the person could draw that liquid, and he could spit out through his mouth, like those who throw all their liquids out, they spit out, which they draw the mucus through their mouth and through their breath, they spit it out of their body and they expel it, so therefore it's not going to kill him. It will blind him, but it won't kill him. But one thing you see is that he holds that what's in his eyes, the liquid, the tears, he could spit out through his mouth. So if the reason why we mentioned the whole nasal mucus is simply because it could come through the mouth and therefore it's going to have some spit, so then that should include also, the Braisa should have mentioned also the tears of the eyes. Because Rav holds that that could be drawn also through the mouth. So it's like, no. For Rav, he desire nafik. Although he says, yeah, the person won't die because he could spit out through the mouth, that's referring to the poison of that liquid, that the person could expel it through the mouth. But dimasa gufal enafik, the tears themselves are not coming through the mouth, and if that wasn't included in the count, so although yes, the nasal mucus is only because it's having some spit coming through the mouth, tears won't be included because tears themselves don't come through the mouth. But the Gemara continues asking, it says, Tashma, from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Tisha Mashkin Hazav Hein. There's 9 different liquids that come from the body of the Zav, which the Braisa breaks down into 3 groups of 3 regarding their halachic status. There's Hazeya, there's the sweat. That's a liquid that comes from the body of the Zav. Vahalecha Srucha, you have the putrid liquid, which is pus. Vahrei, you have excrement. Those 3 liquids are Tahar Maklum. They're pure from anything. They don't have any tummy coming from the Zav. Second category, you have dimas eino, you have the tears of his eyes. Bedamai gefasa, you have the blood of his wound. V'chol avisha, or you have the milk from, when we're talking about from a woman. That those groups of liquids, metame tumas mashkin, they contaminate a tuma of liquids, which could contaminate food items and beverages like all other liquids that are tummy, because these liquids are coming from the tummy person and they can become tummy as a liquid, not as the next category of mayonis of fountains, but they're liquids coming from his body and could have tumas of mashkin, berevius, when it's the measurement of a revius of a log, which that's the measurement of liquids to become tummy, that's that second category. Now, Aval, however, Zayba, his discharge, Roika, his spit, Umeim Raglav, and his urine, Mitama Tumachamuru, they contaminate a severe level of Tumah, that if it touches a person, it contaminates him and his garments, because these are fountains that come from the tummy person. Those are the nine liquids, the Brisa says. But Ve'ilu Meha Aflakatani, the Brisa doesn't mention the nasal mucus. Now, Bish Lemel Rabbi, you understand according to Rabbi that he said that this, that the previous Tana had mentioned nasal mucus, was only because it's expelled through the mouth. So you could explain, oh yeah, this Tana, the reason why Leketani, why it doesn't mention it, is because since the nasal mucus is not tummy intrinsically from itself, it's only because when you do it through the mouth, it has some spit inside of it. So it's not a concrete thing to mention it in this Brisa, because Zimnin de Asi Derech HaPeh, sometimes you will spit out the nasal mucus through the mouth, but Vizimnin sometimes you'll spit it out through from the nostril directly, and then they're tar. And something that's not concrete, this Tana wasn't talking about. But Al Rabbi Yechanan, that he said that it's always tummy because he considers it one of the mayonis, one of the fountains of the Zav. So listening, why isn't that mentioned as one of the four items, not just three, that are going to be tummy odom, tummy begodim? Says the Gemara, but Al Tamech, according to your reasoning that you're asking on Rabbi Yechanan, Kichi v'nei mikatani, did the Brisa mention the phlegms of the Zav? No, it doesn't mention that, even though that everyone agrees is matami adam matami begadam. Ella, rather, why isn't it difficult? Tana reika v'chal da'asim irbuya. It mentions spit and all that are included in the pasuk that are learnt out and from in the as a derivation from the halacha of spit, which they are learnt out from spit, as we said, v'chiyar. So achanami tana reika v'chal da'asim irbuya. So here also, it's not difficult why it doesn't mention the nezi mukis, because that's also included in the category of spit, but really, it is also one of the things that matami adam matami begadam. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says to explain the Brisa that in the middle category spoke about liquids that come from the Zav that are not nothing, they're liquids, but they're not mayonis to Mitam Adam Tam Gadam. One of them was Dimas Enoi, was the tears of his eyes. So we see that we're considering it as a mashka, as a beverage, because the Chesiv, it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, V'tashkema bidmoy shalish, that he gave him to drink these copious tears, which we see from the Pasuk that it's considering tears as a mashka, and therefore could have tumas mashka, tumah of food items, of beverages. So to v'dame gifase, the other item was the blood of his wound, because the chesiv says, the pasim b'midbar, it says, b'dam chalalim yishta, the blood of the slain he will drink. So you see, blood from a slain person is considered a liquid, a beverage. So too, the blood of a person's wound is also considered, quote, blood of the slain, because a person is like, when he has a wound, he's like half or quarter or an eighth or whatever it is, killed. And so, malikatli kuli, malikatli palki. What does that mean if he's totally killed or partially killed? It's the same type of a blood, and therefore it's also considered mashka. And so, to chalav yishta, the third item, the milk of a woman, the chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Sefer Shaftim, says, v'tiftach esnoit ha'chalav v'tashkeyu, she opened up the flask of the milk and she gave him the drink. You see that milk is considered like a beverage, v'tashkeyu, and therefore the milk from a woman is also going to be considered, coming out of the zava, as a mashka to have tumas mashka. Now, one of the items that we mentioned that has a severe level of tumah, like one of the mayanis, is meimei raglav. Says the Gemara, "Nolan, where do we know that the urine has the halacha of mayanis hazav?" So says the Gemara, "Because it's like the brisa." The pasuk says, we quoted this pasuk before. It says zayvay tamei, which was the source that the discharge is tamei, and then the next pasuk says vizayis, and this, which the pasuk goes on to say something else. But this pasuk of vizayis tia tamasei, the Gemara expounds, the Brisa expounds on going on the pasuk before. It says zayvay tamei. So the pasuk ends zayvay tameihu, which we say it means say the discharge is tamei, and it says vizayis and this, meaning it's saying that something else is also like the discharge. Larabis meimei raglav l'tamei, that comes to include that the urine is also going to be tamei, which is also similar as one of the fountains is also going to be tamei like the discharge itself. Now, but the Brisa says, but valedinu. But isn't it logical? Why do I need to have a pasuk to include the urine? If the spit, which comes from a pure place, is coming from his mouth, there's no tumah that comes out of a person's mouth, and still tumah, we say that, as we just learned before, it's tumah as one of the secretions of a tzav. So meimei raglav, so his urine, haboin, that they come as getintab nandvav manav mimakam tumah, from the place of tumah, it's the place where the discharge, the ziva, comes out from, which is tumah for this person. In addition to tumah, isn't it a kavachimer, of course, that fountain, that spring, that secretion of urine is going to be tumah? Says the price, no, dam ha-yitzim mi-piha ama. When you have blood coming out of the male member of a full-fledged zav, yechich will disprove this logic. Shabab and makam tami, where that blood is coming from, the place of tumah of where the discharge comes from, and yet vitar, still it's tar, as the Gemara later on is going to bring the source for this, how we know that it's tar. Savata al titmal zeh, so therefore you also shouldn't wonder regarding this of the urine, shavat bi shabam and makam tumah, even though it's coming from the place of the tumah, you would think also maybe yitar would be tar. Tam 11, that's why we need the teaching, as we mentioned before, that it says at the end of the pasuk zayve tamei, that the discharge is tamei, and then the next pasuk says v'zayis and this, which is going back in the previous pasuk. L'rabbis may miragla v'tama to include something else that also comes out from the same place of the discharge, which is the urine, that it's also going to have the tumah of the secretions of azav, l'tamei adam, l'tamei begadim.